Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome to the second half of our Sunday Spin for this morning on January 10th, 8:07 in the morning. And I'm glad that Dave mentioned that there were some flurries in the air, because just outside on the Storm Center patio, and you could see a little bit of flurries. Nothing. Actually, it almost, as Bob Ferguson suggested, it's probably just snow blowing off another building or something of that nature. But it's still brutally cold out there. That wind is just roaring. And is it supposed to let up anytime soon, Dave?
Not really. Gusty winds will be around with us today, tonight, tomorrow. And that's what is helping to give those low wind chill indices. You know, temperatures falling to 14 by this afternoon, and we're there in many places right now, as a matter of fact. It's only 12 above at O'Hare, and the wind's gusting up to 30 miles an hour from the northwest, gives us a wind chill of 5 below. So, yeah, bundle up, as they say. Happy New Year.
Yeah, well, and so if you want to enjoy today's high temperature, I'd get outside now, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. This is as good as it gets.
This is as good as it gets. All right, thanks, Dave. Thanks very much. Well, joining me now here in the Allstate Showcase studio is my good friend and Tribune colleague, Bill Ruthart, member of the political team at the Chicago Tribune. And Bill is part of a political team that I don't think we've had any rest. It's nonstop. And certainly, you know, we look at last week as another point in the latest travails of Mayor Rahm Emanuel, and the issue of how he initially dismissed calls that the city law department be part of a U.S. Department of Justice probe into policing and police standards in the Chicago Police Department. Obviously, all of this stretching from the Laquan McDonald video, but Emanuel kind of poo-pooed it and then found himself reversing course, pivoting, flip-flopping, whatever, to say that he would seek an independent investigation of the city's law department. This, of course, prompted by the fact that a prominent law department attorney was found by a federal judge to have been withholding exculpatory evidence that would have been beneficial to the defense. And there are other cases where this has happened as well. So, first, Bill, thanks for getting up with me this morning.
Yeah, good to be here.
And second, you know, what's the fallout from this? And here again we see Rahm Emanuel having to react and clarify rather than kind of move forward.
Right. And to be clear, this latest issue with the law department isn't directly tied to the Laquan McDonald shooting. This was another case, a civil lawsuit involving another victim of a Chicago police shooting. And the jury in that case found that the officers were justified in the shooting, but a judge has ordered a retrial. And the reason was because he found that these city attorneys withheld evidence in the case. When the ruling came out, the city and the attorney immediately parted ways. And the next day or the day, maybe 2 days later, I don't remember exactly, you know, the mayor had his regular news conference. And, you know, we at the Tribune asked whether the mayor thought that the civil rights probe from the Justice Department, which is already looking at the police department, whether it might make sense to expand that to the city's law department, since we now have five city attorneys who have been cited by a judge for withholding evidence. And the mayor laughed at the question, believe it or not. Given all the controversy of the last couple months, he laughed at the notion and you know, immediately tried not to answer the question. And when my colleague John Byrne pressed him on it, he finally said, no, I don't think the Justice Department should look at the law department. And
launched into a strenuous defense of Steve Patton,
his top city attorney, said that he would make sure this never happened again. And then the very next day, after the news stories were written and the TV accounts of the press conference had gone up, the mayor had once again changed his mind, which in not necessarily on the Justice Department point of it, he said, if the Justice Department can look whatever they want, I have to cooperate. he didn't ask the Justice Department to look at it, but he did say that he was going to order this quote-unquote third-party independent review of the law department. We still don't know what that means. We've been asking for details for the last few days. City Hall hasn't given us any, but presumably they're going to hire some outside law firm to, at a minimum, evaluate whether the city's law attorneys, the city attorneys and the law department have proper training on this issue. The real question is whether they're going to go back and look at these type of police misconduct cases and whether evidence has been withheld in any other cases. We certainly have two cases involving police misconduct where the same federal judge has sanctioned five city attorneys. So, you know, the mayor at first didn't seem to be concerned that there could be a widespread problem within his law department. Now he's changed his tune a little bit, mostly, again, because of the public pressure. And this is now the fourth or fifth time we've seen him reverse his stance because of the public scrutiny and these, you know, repeated scandals within his administration.
Which I think that's the thing that surprises most people, most observers, is, you know, given Emanuel's longstanding reputation as being organized, on message, control freak, that I kind of noted that sometimes in politics, what may seem obvious becomes less obvious when it's something that a politician can't control. And frankly, that's what we've seen in these last few months, is kind of a spiraling situation of things that aren't necessarily under not necessarily something that Emanuel can control. But that having been said, the responses are, I think, what's surprising people, because it just seems to be having to make these contradictory moves to try to find his footing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for all the reputation of the political animal that he is, you know, from everything from running the DCCC to serving in two White House administrations, there's this assumption that Rahm Emanuel knows how to react in these situations. But clearly, he's miscalculated the fallout, the depth of each of these scandals as they've come up. He has been off, and the public scrutiny and the public heat has forced him to recalibrate in every instance. You know, he stood by Gary McCarthy when they released the video, fired him a few days later because of the public fallout. He said that when they released the Laquan McDonald shooting video, he said that this was one bad rogue cop. A few days later, he's standing up and saying that anything less than total and complete reform of the Chicago Police Department with the code of silence is unacceptable. You know, in this latest case of the law department, stands by his top city attorney, says there's no need to look at it. Literally the next day says we need a third party independent review. And those are just the few examples off the top of my head. There's more. And so that is what's striking, is that, you know, for someone who always likes to portray he's in control, above the fray, even in his campaign for a second term, he was above the fray, the only adult in the room. He wasn't going to mix it up with the candidates challenging him. He is now vulnerable. He is not seen to have the steady hand that he has earlier in his administration. And it'll be interesting to see whether the Chicago City Council, along the rubber stamp for everything he wants to do, smells the blood in the water or not.
We're speaking with Bill Ruthart, my colleague on the Chicago Tribune's political team. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Sunday morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me here in studio, my Chicago Tribune colleague on our political team, Bill Ruthart, and we're talking about the latest in the travails of Mayor Rahm Emanuel. And of course, now, Bill, we've got this story about the FBI looking at another Chicago police-involved shooting.
It's becoming difficult to keep track of all the police-related shootings and the issues involved. And this one, which our colleagues report on the front page of the paper this morning, involves a 2013 shooting of a gentleman named Esau Castellanos. And this gentleman was driving at like 80 miles an hour, has a car accident, a couple officers run up on the scene and open fire 19 times into the wreckage and strike this guy three times and kill him. And the story at the time, which was plastered all over the news, and was that this gentleman was armed and opened fire on the officers, and that's why they returned fire. Turned out there was no gun in the vehicle. Then the story changed that, oh, there was somebody in the vehicle with him. And now that story appears to be shaky. And the result is that apparently the FBI has been looking at this case for a couple of years now. And so part of the story is that the two officers involved in this shooting were still on the street until Friday when the Tribune notified the Chicago Police Department that these guys were being investigated by the feds. Interim Superintendent Escalante immediately put them on desk duty, which is the procedure when they're supposed to be investigated, right, when they're being investigated, said that this is the first they'd heard of it. But then we reported in the newspaper this morning that the city's law department and the mayor's office, as well as IPRA, the independent board that investigates police shootings, were all aware or notified that the FBI was looking into this. So why the police department seemingly didn't know and put these guys on desk duty is an open question. So yes, this is the latest incident that is under review. FBI's had the case for 2 years. It's almost a 3-year-old shooting. The FBI has taken more than a year on the Laquan McDonald situation. We know there's a grand jury there. I wonder at what point questions start being asked about the FBI and how long it's taking them to look at some of these cases.
Yeah, well, as you say, this is a couple of years. And, of course, that was one of the issues, quite frankly, that surfaced in the Laquan McDonald video and the settlement with the family about disclosure of the video and interfering with an ongoing investigation. And who knows how long these, quote, ongoing investigations can take place. And, you know, it's that issue of investigation versus transparency and transparency or lack thereof being one of the critical factors in kind of this crisis of governance that the city's going through.
Right, and certainly, you know, State's Attorney Anita Alvarez has cited time and again that the reason it took her 13 months to charge Officer Jason Van Dyke in the Laquan McDonald shooting was because the feds were also looking at the case, and she wanted to wait for them to reach their conclusion. That is the cover she is seeking as she's come under intense scrutiny in her run for another term as state's attorney. It looks like the Democrats could endorse Kim Fox in that race, which would be a reversal of staying neutral. They're going to have a meeting this week on that issue. But certainly the involvement of the feds has been this kind of gray area that, you know, we don't really know exactly what the issues are. It could be it's taking a while because they're looking beyond just the McDonald shooting and, right, and other people who, you know, remember, there's four other officers who filed false reports in that case. So we don't know how widespread the federal investigation is. Of course, the feds don't talk about their investigations. So that's one of these kind of unknown elements in this whole discussion.
Well, you mentioned before the break about kind of the vulnerability that Rahm Emanuel has right now. And we're seeing that in some respects in some of the very harsh rhetoric that Governor Bruce Rauner, his friend, has been leveling against the mayor, accusing him of being tone deaf to the taxpayers of Illinois, of Chicago, of being basically a failure. And all of this coming, you know, as we get even further down the road here with the lack of a state budget, with the need of the city, the public schools, mass transit of about $1 billion. We have pressing issues, obviously, with Chicago Public Schools. They need $500 million in some form of cash relief. There's the threat of a teacher strike. I tend to believe that this is, despite the harsher rhetoric, it is kind of just these guys, they know what to expect from each other. The political playbook says if you've got an opponent or want to make opponent look wounded, take advantage of them being wounded,
right,
and try to further up your score. But at the same time, as the rhetoric gets harsher, it doesn't get us any closer to fixing anything.
Right. I mean, you know, certainly Rauner, you know, took it up a notch when he did a radio interview earlier this week. It was the day after Emanuel said his law department didn't have to be looked at, and he slammed him for that and said, how tone deaf can you be, like you mentioned. You know, it's basically like Groundhog Day, except the comments are different each day. And now it's getting a little more heated because these guys are getting, you know, further and further down the road. You know, Rauner's comments came a day after Emanuel ribbed him by saying that his New Year's resolution for Rauner is that he'll pass a budget before he has to give a budget address for his second budget in February. So It's, of course, it's not a second budget if you never pass the first budget. So, you know, these guys, there's some talk that, oh, it's gotten really bad. And you know, I'm not sure I buy that. These guys know the game, especially Emmanuel. Maybe Rauner is takes it more personally. I don't think Emmanuel does. I think he knows the game of politics. These guys still communicate quite often. And so, but yeah, you're right. It doesn't get anybody any closer. You got these issues at the city with CPS, who in dire need of some $500 million to avoid further cuts. He's got the teachers union preparing to strike. I mean, the mess just keeps on coming from Rahm Emanuel.
I thought one thing that was striking, though, was when Rauner basically and Emanuel had been kind of looked at as a potential bridge between Mike Madigan, the Speaker of the House, and Governor Rauner, the two of them at longtime loggerheads, that Rahm being could kind of maybe facilitate between both of them. But then you have Rauner accusing Emanuel of hiding behind Speaker Madigan and not wanting to upset the speaker.
Yeah, I mean, I think the easiest way to explain this is like envision a triangle, you know. At the top, you have Madigan. At one point of the triangle, you have Emmanuel and Cullerton. And then the other, you have the governor. And, you know, I don't see Emmanuel bridging much of anything in that triangle. He's close to Senate President Cullerton. But at the end of the day, it's Madigan and it's Rauner. And I'm not sure, given Rahm's issues in the city, that he's in much of a position to broker a whole heck of a lot in Springfield.
And frankly, there is no brokering going on in Springfield. So we have the House was scheduled to be in session this week, and that's now been put off. And lawmakers from the House not scheduled to be back until late January. Bill Ruthart, my colleague from the Chicago Tribune's political team, thanks for getting up with me this morning. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
We'll be back with more right after this.